Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropps.
Are unaffiliated voters the key to winning Oregon in November? And what would move them to vote differently in the ways that they've voted in times past? I'm not talking about Republicans or Democrats, folks. I'm talking about the largest voting bloc in the state, unaffiliated voters. What would move them to vote different? Because many of them vote for Democrats. What would move them to vote differently? Well, let me give you a quote. Quote, there is no excuse for this bureaucratic failure on a problem that should have been avoided with ample time and resources, and the responsibility rests with Governor Brown and the Oregon Employment Department. The people of Oregon deserve better. That is my former state senator, Fred Girard, who is the Oregon Senate Republican leader. He's former because I no longer live where his legislative district is. So do the people of Oregon deserve better with the Oregon Employment Department? Is this the seminal issue? You know, the coronavirus thing, folks, is what has derailed our economy. You know, we found out yesterday how bad it really is, right? I mean, you can just see it if you go and look at the stories. We're up $2.7 billion less in the last 12 and a half months of this legislative budget, two-year budget. Remember, Oregon's budget goes for 2 years, okay? So we're almost one full year into the budget. The new budget begins, or it began rather, the new two-year budget began on July 1 of last year. We're now a year into it, almost close to July 1, right? So if we're $2.7 billion short, what does that mean? Well, we've got money in reserve. Kate's holding money in reserve that's supposed to go to the counties, hoping that the Treasury Department, U.S. Treasury, will let her spend it on state stuff because she doesn't want to lay off state employees. Why? Well, because that gives her the political advantage. It gives Democrats the political advantage because all of those state employees are still paying their dues to the unions, and the unions are giving money to Democrats, and they're winning. Yesterday, we thought they were losing. Wrong-o. Because they found a way for ultra-leftist, truly regressive, totalitarian Marxist Oregon Democrat Senator Shamia Fagan to find a way to beat fellow Democrat Senator Mark Haas. They found a way, folks. They found enough votes. And, of course, it came from where? Multnomah County. Now, if I was Mark Haas, I think I'd be looking at a recount. In fact, if I was Mark Haas, I think I would be looking very suspiciously at all those precincts in Multnomah County. Why? Because you know what they have a history of doing, folks? They have a history of turning in more ballots, precinct after precinct after precinct, than what the census says voters of voting age actually exist. How many ways can you say voter fraud? The only way you figure this out, by the way, and Mark Haas, I hope not that you would listen to the show, Mark, but you know, the only way you figure it out, Mark, is to do a precinct by precinct recount. Now that's expensive, but that's the only way you find out who voted illegally, or how many dead people voted, or how many ineligible voters voted. Not just the illegal aliens, folks, with the driver's licenses that they get automatically. Thank you, Kate Brown. But how many felons are voting? So the unions found a way to win. Well, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Jason Dudash about curbing the power of the unions because, well, the Freedom Foundation has launched a complaint against the union-funded Our Oregon, and it's 3,300 pages long, folks. You need to hear about this. All of that is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Are unaffiliated voters the key to winning Oregon? I got an email this morning from my buddy Lee. It has to do with this story that leads me to ask that question. Are unaffiliated voters the key to winning in Oregon? Why? Because there's this story, a poll, a lefty poll. This is the CNBC Change Research poll of battleground states, shows Donald Trump beating Joe Biden 48-46. Now, it's just outside the margin of error. Okay. And it's a big poll, too, by the way. It's like 20, how many people here? 55,400 people in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 states. Arizona, Florida, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. So Trump beats Biden. But it's the independent voter number. Trump beats Biden 41-32 by 9 points. Now, the voters are split on who handles the pandemic better, but by big numbers, 11%. Those independent voter or voters entirely, not just independents, think that Trump would do a better job handling the economy. Now, I want to go back to something. Why are the Democrat governors and Kate Brownon specifically trying to hurt the economy? Well, again, it advantages her. Small businesses and business that normally give to Republicans in Oregon are hurting. They can't give as much money. Democrats are still getting as much money from the unions as they always have, or pretty much. That's why the efforts of the Freedom Foundation are so important. But Lee writes me this about Biden. Now, getting back to his email. The compassionate speech from Mr. Biden was well written, and many will most likely believe what he said. Trust government, he said. Yeah, that would be nice, as they had a track record that was for the people instead of for the individual. Trust the government is just what they want us to do so they can run their socialist agenda. Nope. Not gonna, Mr. Biden. In other news, by the way, that relates to the coronavirus mess, Polk and Marion counties have been approved for phase one reopening. Hallelujah. Ain't it about time? By the way, Dave writes in and said, did the county or state break the law by having unsecured ballot drop boxes? When I took ballots to City Hall, they had locked drop boxes. That's an interesting question. And thanks to James for saying, Jeff, I heard the phrase government-mandated poverty today. Is that the grand plan for lording over the citizens? We are creating a dependency on government, but failing to deliver on the benefits. The federal government hands out money to the states, but it only fuels the bureaucracies, while those in need can't even apply for employment. Unemployment, rather. What matter of horse manure is this? So I'm going to tell you, I asked the question, are unaffiliated voters the key to winning Oregon in November? Trump is beating Biden badly in these battleground states with these independents. So why? What are the key issues that move those independent voters? Are they the same that would move independent voters in Oregon? Or is it things like the unemployment disaster, the fiasco that it is? There's an Oregonian article about this today. And I'm telling you, folks, the smart Democrats are getting ahead of this and trying to provide cover for Kate. Because what's about to happen is Kate is about to fire the director of the Department of Employment, but it's all really laid at her feet and should be. Blumenauer, Congressman, Bowtie Earl, from the leftist Moscow on the Willamette, which is used to be Eugene, but it really is Portland. and Ron Wyden are blasting the Oregon Employment Department for unpaid benefits dysfunctional communication. Yeah, they wrote a scathing letter to the head of the Oregon Department of Employment. What they're doing, folks, is giving Kate, they're doing two things. Trying to say, hey, it wasn't us. We're not responsible. We Democrats are not responsible because they know how dangerous this is to Democrat control. Because if smart Republicans are smart and they're stupid political advisors in this state, and they are, I'm sorry, folks. I do political consulting, and most of these people are just dumb. They don't get it. This issue is the issue in the upcoming election. I'm telling you, it is, folks. And the fact that so many Democrat leaders are coming out now and saying, expressing their frustration because they're trying to stem what they see as the real danger to their power and control in the November elections. It is this issue. You know, the old TV show from the 60s, Lost in Space, danger, danger, Will Robinson. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing here, but it's even deeper than that. What Wyden and Blumenauer are doing is giving Kate Brown an excuse to fire the director, the scapegoat. Because, you know, the director won't talk to anybody. That's, again, in this story by Mark Rogoway. You can see it if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. And I will, yesterday, folks, I'm sorry I did not get the show plan up and the topics up on my Facebook page. I will do it today. Yesterday, I put the petition to reopen the churches up there, and you can still see it, and you can still sign it. I think we're going to run it till about Sunday, and then we're going to cut it off and then print everything out and send it to the governor. Anyway, what they're doing here is twofold. They are giving Democrats cover so that it doesn't hurt them too badly. Because they know how dangerous this issue is, the incompetence of the state of Oregon, and it reflects on Kate. Now, they're also giving Kate the perfect reason to fire the director. But you know it isn't going to make any difference, right? Because the problems are not related to the director. They're related to culture, the Oregon way. You know, I say that a lot. You guys don't believe me? You should. Because it is the Oregon way to take every computer project that there is almost, maybe there has been one in the last 20 years, maybe the last 25, 30 years, one computer upgrade project that has actually been completed on time and on budget. Most of them are not. And those of you listening to my voice right now that are state IT people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a joke. Folks, this issue is powerful, let me tell you. But is it the key to moving unaffiliated voters in Oregon, which is the largest voting bloc, and typically they don't vote in big numbers? Could you motivate them to vote against the Democrats, who are the reason this problem is happening to begin with? What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Let me know what your opinion is. How bad is it when Democrat leader after Democrat leader decries how bad it is? They're scared, folks. They should. Come on and sing my song all night long.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with our friend Ron, who's been gracious to hold on over the break. Hey, folks, just want to remind you, if you want to sign that petition to the governor to reopen Oregon churches, to declare us essential, go to the Salem House of Prayer to their Facebook page, or you can go to my Facebook page, Jeff Krupp, and you can see it from yesterday. It's a change.org petition. I signed it yesterday, and they'll send you a little email. Okay, that's all you got to do. I want to remind you folks that if you are cleaning up things around the yard, most of us are because it's spring. You know, you got to do something with all that stuff, right? Well, take it to Clayton Ward Recycling. Maybe you're doing a DIY project like remodeling something or fixing something. Maybe you're building something. You got stuff left over? Take it to Clayton Ward Recycling. They're in Salem right off of the Salem Parkway and Mainline Drive. They're open 6 days a week, rather, Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, and on Saturdays, 7 to 3. You know what the best part is? They're not just a great local family-owned company that's been here for 50 years, but you can just drive right on in and unload and drive right on out. And you can't do that, usually, at the Marion County dump sites, because they're pretty busy. Clayton Ward Recycling, easy in, easy out, easy unloading. It's all good for you. Why don't you give them a call? 503-393-8700. 503-393-8700. Clayton Ward Recycling. Let's go to Ron. Ron, good morning. What say you, brother?
Well, nothing much, brother. I'm going to say three things. Ask me one question first. What was the turnout of Republicans that voted in this state?
Ron, I haven't seen the final numbers, but it looks like the Democrat turnout was a lot higher in terms of percentage.
Oh, by far. Based on what I read down, looking at the Oregonian website, or KGW, dismal, terrible, unimproving. It's almost as bad as 2018. And this is my message to all Oregonians, that is Republicans. And I know that there was a ballot issue, because I know various people that have been lifetime Republicans. Didn't get the ballots. They had to go to get provisional ballots. A lot of them. I think they was a little tired. But getting back to the main subject, Oregonians, my Republican friends, y'all better have a message. And I think it's winnable. Ms. Galanos, Ms. Corser, they need this winning message is this. Number one, you cannot fix a cold by giving a bad medication that kills the economy. Number two, you got to be able to gin up to the non-NAVs and some conservative and moderate Democrats the facts to where we can come together without giving up your values. The winning thing is the unemployment situation. The 11 years, you got to tag it with Kate Brown. Where's Jerkley Merkley? This is election year. Where's his compassion? Why is Wyden throwing a fire before it happened? And the third question is this, that you need to answer the candidates of Oregon. You've got to listen to your constituents. You've got to show the evidence. If you were to do those things, and you got to go in the lion's den, not just to your own base, if you want to win the race. That's it. Because you're right, Jeff. Just like when we used to go to Shiloh Inn in 2018. The result was message. The message, if I was going to be running, is this. The Democrat Party cares about power. They have destroyed the engine of America's small business, and they have chosen to not listen to the will of the people, but deny the will of the people and want them to be treated like sheeple and want them to come to the trough whenever they throw the feed down instead of letting them be independently an American. That's the message I'll be throwing in this election. And I think it's a winning issue, and it crosses all lines. And as you know, I talk to everybody. And I'm working somewhere around the valley here in Salem this time, running around.
So let me ask you something, Ron. Do you have friends or people that you know that are these unaffiliated voters? What are they thinking? What are they saying? What are they talking about?
The biggest thing they say is they're sick and tired of the inviting. I think that's why a lot of them chose not to vote the primary and become Republicans. The second thing is this. You can't have, each county has their own county central committee. You cannot go through and have people in a central committee backbiting our own base. And they're tired of that. The last 4 years, I tried to get them to come to the Republican Party. The biggest problem is they've seen evidence and they're tired. They say all they do is backbite. They don't care. And then it starts at the top, which is the ORP that oversees by the power of the people rising up. You know what I'm saying? Power starts from the people in the Republican Party. But if they go through and they say they're going to be nonpartisan, but doing the backroom Tammany Hall deals, wink, wink, nod, nod, they see that too. And they say that's why the participation rate is not
well, good at the primaries. I think you're right to some degree there. Thanks, brother. Be safe out there today and dry because it's raining right now. You know, there's a reason that these folks are unaffiliated voters. Some of them choose to be that way, and a lot of them have been registered under motor voter, and, you know, they don't care. Something's got to spur them to begin to care. Is this issue, you think, of the incompetence of Kate Brown and the recycled bureaucrats of this state, as exemplified by this unemployment department? And I call it the unemployment. It's not the Department of Employment, folks. It's Unemployment Department of Oregon. This problem is laid at their feet, and it should be. And by virtue of the fact that Democrat after Democrat of leader is coming out and saying, no, it's not our fault. It's the evil bureaucrats. They're trying to deflect the blame. Will it work? Is this the issue that can move those unaffiliated voters? Well, we'll see. At the bottom of the hour here, we're going to talk to Jason Dudash of the Freedom Foundation and curbing the power of the unions. You're not going to believe what they continue to do. And they've just filed a 3,300-page complaint. Not kidding you about this. I want to remind you, friends, that if you are looking to keep your home clean of not just the virus, but of all the pollen blowing around out there, go to Freedom Heating and Air. It's another great local business that needs your support. They've been here 40 years. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. They can make your home cleaner and safer. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. It's 6:30. Back in a moment with Jason Dudash.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, my friends. Great to have you with us. It is 24 minutes till the top of the hour. So, you know, we're asking the question today, are unaffiliated voters the key to winning in Oregon? And I think they are. So how do you get to the unaffiliated voters? I mean, think about it. Who has the power and the money right now? If you think about it, the people with the money and the power are the unions. And the business folks are the people that are hurting. So how do we fix that? Well, one of the people that is trying to level that playing field is Jason Dudash of the Oregon Freedom Foundation, and he joins us now. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Very good. Thanks for having me on.
So you guys just announced a 3,300-page complaint against the union's political arm called Our Oregon. That's a pretty big complaint, and there's an awful lot of evidence that you're putting in front of the Secretary of State's office. Why don't you tell everybody what you're doing?
Yeah, of course. Well, as I know you know, Oregon really is kind of the wild, wild west when it comes to campaign finance. We don't have any kind of caps on the amount of money that can be donated to politicians or political campaigns. But the rules that we do have are very black and white. They're very clear. And the main thing is transparency. Oregonians need to know who's behind the money. And our Oregon, described by OPB and many others as a political powerhouse in the state, doesn't have any of those reporting requirements because they haven't properly filed as a PAC. Right now they're operating as a nonprofit while donating millions and millions of dollars into our election cycle.
So basically, they're fraudulently operating, flouting the rules, and so far they've gotten away with it.
Correct, yeah. No one's taken the time to put together closer to a 3,400-page complaint.
Folks, if you want to read this, go to freedomfoundation.com and check on their media, their press release on this. I mean, this is pretty stunning. I mean, it's it's more than, I mean, this is a repeated pattern of abuse of the law is what you're demonstrating here. So, first of all, I mean, it's been a while since you actually placed this complaint with the Secretary of State's office. I think you did it on the 13th of May, and today's the 21st. Have you gotten a response?
Yes, we have. They have acknowledged the receipt of the complaint and said they will let us know if they have any further questions for us. But they are investigating it. That is a fairly timely process.
So what kind of a documentation did you provide them?
Well, like you said, there's 74 exhibits citing specific violations. The main two that we're citing are one, that they've just failed to file a proper statement of organization, that they are indeed a political action committee. Failure to do that makes every contribution they've received, every expenditure that they've made, a violation under the statute. And each one of those violations, of which we're directly alleging 274, carries about a $1,000 fine with it. Furthermore, because, again, they failed to file, most of these contributions are just kind of passed through contributions. And under Oregon statute, that's called contributions in false name, which here is a $120,000 fine, a Class C felony with up to 5 years of jail time.
Well, I wouldn't anticipate Ellen Rosenblum, the Oregon's attorney general, who's running for re-election. I wouldn't anticipate that she would probably actually try to throw anybody in jail here.
No, not a chance, really. But the Oregon people need to know that that's where she stands. You know, we have two sets of laws here. There's laws for people like you and I, Jeff, and then there's laws for unions and their cronies, and they're not applied evenly, and Oregonians need to see that.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that, and you guys are doing a marvelous job. We're talking with Jason Dudash. He's a director of the Oregon Freedom Foundation. Go to freedomfoundation.com, and you can read this complaint. Now, literally, can people go online and read the entire 3,400 pages?
You know, Jeff, that it's a bit large for our web server to kind of just host that consistently. But if anybody wants to see that entire complaint, I'm happy to provide it if they reach out to our office.
Okay, so again, for the sake of the listeners, the difference between what you're alleging is that they're hiding behind the veil of being a 501c4, but they're acting like a political action committee. Now,
correct.
If I'm wrong here, please correct me, but when I say hiding behind the veil of a 501c4, people can make contributions, or like the unions, can make contributions to the 501c4, and their names are not public. The IRS knows who it is, but the public doesn't know it. Whereas if they are a political action committee, all of that is, every contributor is public, or pretty much every contributor is public information. That's the difference here, right?
That's exactly correct, Jeff. You know, every other PAC, when you go in, any Oregonian can go to the Secretary of State's office and see every penny accounted for, the names of the individuals behind that money. Our Oregon, that's not the case. You just see our Oregon and you see outrageous amounts of money being dumped into ballot initiatives and initiative petitions. And that's right now, you know, we've got this ridiculous recall campaign against Senator Thompson. There's $130,000 behind that campaign. Of that, $103,000 come from our Oregon. That kind of outrageous money being dumped blindly into super partisan efforts like that needs to be accounted for.
Yeah, that's not in any way other than a violation right there, because this is an active recall campaign against a sitting senator. And a 501c4 cannot do that. They cannot engage in that activity, but a PAC can. But yet our Oregon is pumping money into that. And I would think that that would deserve some kind of a serious investigation on the part of the Secretary of State's office. But yet you have no indication that they're actually doing that?
No, they are. They are investigating. We've got the letter of acknowledgement from the Secretary of State. It is just going to take time.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how much time it really takes, because if they're successful in getting signatures, they have till June 2nd to turn in signatures to see if there's enough signatures to have a recall election. And after that, basically, as the process goes, that election has to happen in about 30 days. Well, actually, it'd be about 40 days total. So that would put it the first part of August, actually. It'll put it sometime in July. So here's the reality is if our Oregon is successful in continuing this scam like you guys have portrayed here, it could be, and if they get away with it, it could be that this sets us on a very, very dangerous course for the future. But nothing new here, because part of your complaint is that they've been doing this for a very long time.
Oh, yeah, we can, for as far as we can tell, it's from they've been established in 2005. they've been bad actors from the start. You know, this is the same people that were cited just 2 years ago in 2018 for failure to turn in ballots. It was the second largest violation in Oregon's history, and now the same people are on track to be the first by a long shot.
So do you think they contributed any money to Shamia Fagan?
The same people did. You know, this is the arm of the unions, and we all know that the unions are the primary funders of Shamia Fagan. She's nothing but a puppet for them, and she got so much backlash for the amount of money. Over 80% of the $750,000 that was contributed to her campaign in 3 months came from government unions. People from her own party were just whipping her over it, saying how deplorable it is. And now we have that same group of people doing the same thing for ballot initiatives. And I want to see the same kind of outrage from the Democrats on this. You know, this is supposed to be the party that are championing campaign finance reform in the state. They call us the party of dark money. The Freedom Foundation is dark money. And yet they're all the happy to take it themselves.
Jason, how can people learn more and how can people help you guys in your fight for transparency and equality in politics in Oregon, Washington, and California?
FreedomFoundation.com, FreedomFoundation.com.
That's it, folks. Jason, thanks for joining us, and good work, by the way. Keep after him.
Thanks, Jeff. We sure will.
FreedomFoundation.com, folks. Check it out. It's fascinating. All right. So I want to remind you also that if you are, you know, this is the coronavirus time, right? We're all freaked out over it. And it's impacted our lives. It really has. One of the ways that you can keep it from hurting you physically in any way is to build up your immune system. One of the ways that I do that, and I think you ought to think about doing it, is with CBD products. And I buy mine, and it's very good CBD products from Pro Bioscience right here in Salem. Made in Oregon. Processed in Oregon. Go to pro-bioscience.com. Buy their products. They're good stuff. Put in the discount code MOM and you get 15% off. Pro-Bioscience.com.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Thanks to all of you who've been holding on through the Jason Dudash from Freedom Foundation's interview there about what the unions have been doing in Oregon, getting away with. Well, maybe not going to get away with it any longer, at least from the Secretary of State's office perspective. But I am going to hit the phones here in a moment. I got a great email from Lee, but it answers my question, I think. Are the unaffiliated voters the key to winning in Oregon? And if so, how do you reach them? So here's what Lee says in his email. Are they the key? Who are they? If you look at the facts, there are more Republican, conservative, non-affiliated people just trying to live their life the way they want to. These people have some understanding of the free enterprise system. Work hard and smart for a fair wage. Then spend the other time doing what you want. Well, how do we get to the unaffiliated voter? Your answer is in the question. You see, he says, the minority socialist leaders with their unaware flock spend their time looking for the next handout. How are their parents, the government, can take care of them as they do little to nothing? We get to them with corruption in all parties, media advertisements, have a low conversation rate compared to a personal story that relates to all. We all have a story to tell. Look to your family's history or another closely related, how they used to have the freedoms and the Constitution provides and how they had a good life. That's how we get to them. Tell stories. Common sense. That's what we try to do on this show every day, is to talk about the issues of the day in a way that allows you to tell stories, ask questions. That's how you get people to come to conclusions on their own. That's how we change this state. And frankly, that's how you get to the unaffiliated voters. Yeah, there's a reason they don't like either party. So find out what that is and be able to get to them with personal stories. And nothing right now, folks, is more important than this Department of Unemployment, because that's what they are. Let's go to Rebecca. We'll start with her first. Rebecca, good morning.
Hi. I went down to the election office and was told that I couldn't come in and be an observer, and so Bill Burgess, I called him, and he came down and let me in.
Right.
And he said that there was no reason to compel the communities to run the election boxes because of the virus. And
So what about election boxes in grocery stores? Did he allow that?
Well, I don't know what he allowed or not, but he said that because of the fear of the virus, that they did not compel the communities, which I'm imagining that what he means is the people, the government people in the different communities did not want to run the boxes. And so I don't know what the boxes were doing in the grocery stores. I don't know if people, I don't know why they were in the grocery stores, but it was difficult to find them, according to the person who called your station the other day, and so the when I was in, when he was letting me in, I asked, "What about these ballots that are not?" The Democrats passed a bill a few years ago so that the ballots don't have to be destroyed at 8 o'clock. And he said, "Well, we have them under their, there's a camera trained on them 24/7, but I don't know if all of the ballots are there. We don't know how many ballots are not there."
And Rebecca, I got it, and I'm going to let you go because I need to move on. But I got to tell you, that's Bill Burgess in Marion County, and I think that there's some level of integrity there. I don't trust Multnomah County because time after time, Multnomah County comes up with these ballots that just seem to appear from nowhere late in the game, and it changes the vote statewide. Now, I don't know if their chain of custody is as good as Marion County's. I don't know, and I don't trust it. Let's go to Art, who's on the line. Art, good morning.
Hey, Jeff, how are you this morning?
I'm good, buddy. What you got?
Well, I want to talk about this thing in the employment division. You know, yes, the Democratic Party is going to run interference for Kate, but here's the facts, Jeff. The simple fact of this matter is that the governor appoints commissions and boards to oversee public agencies.
That's right.
She's in charge of that. And if there is such a bad problem with the director of the employment division, why in the heck wasn't she replaced? Because they hadn't upgraded the computer system. Kate is at the top of the chain. Kate appoints and oversees these commissions and boards, and the simple fact of the matter is the job didn't get done because Kate didn't do her job, and now they're trying to throw the director of the employment division under the bus to protect Kate. We need to
protect Democrats now. And Art, I got to let you go because we're at the end of the show here. Great point, because friends, every one of you know somebody who is a persuadable voter, an unaffiliated voter. This is what's happening. And what Art just articulated is something that you can begin conversations with, or you can use in a conversation to talk about why on earth we've had $85 million for 11 years, and this problem is happening. Democrat leaders are decrying it. Nobody's being held responsible. Why isn't Kate doing it? And why hasn't Kate fixed the problem? Because you know what? And this is what you say. Real people are getting hurt here. And Kate's doing nothing about it. She's not talking about it. Friends, that's how you move people. You get them to thinking. You also need to think about a great local business that can help you make your life and your home better, and that's Eric Azer at Righteous Renovations. Seriously, if you want to fix something around your place, you should talk to Eric Azer and Righteous Renovations. Go to his website, righteousrenovations.com, righteousrenovations.com. See the testimonials. Here's a guy who lives his faith. And he does it by providing good work to you. Friends, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate each and every one of you. Sorry I didn't get to some of you on the phones today. But we're back tomorrow for Freedom Friday. And pray for Kevin Mannix as they go before the Oregon Supreme Court tomorrow to protect your religious freedom. And pray that Attorney General Bill Barr is watching and helps. Stacey Ann's up next with Good Morning Salem. See you tomorrow.